ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So the song that we will sing at 6:30 is the song that we sing twice in a day during this month of Kartik, the month of Damodar. And this pastime is described by Shukadeva Goswami in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look at the translation of that song, you will see that it gives a pretty good idea of what this pastime or leela is comprised of. Krishna wanted to drink the milk from his mother's breast. He's a young child. And Yashoda was very concerned because there had been complaints from the neighborhood that Krishna and Balaram were causing a disturbance. They were going to neighbors' houses, stealing the butter and yogurt, pinching the babies. And if they didn't like the butter or yogurt, they would spit on the ground, urinate. That's kind of a lot of nonsense. So Mother Yashoda was thinking, maybe there's something wrong with the milk and butter and yogurt I'm giving Krishna. That's why he's going to other people's homes. So the incident of this Damodar Leela takes place on a day every Indian person knows, Diwali. And on this day, Diwali, Krishna's mother, although she has many servants, and she can order, all right, do this, do this, do this. She has so many gopis as her servants. On this day, she decided she was personally going to make the butter and yogurt. And it is said that Yashoda, since she's the queen of Vrindavan, her husband, Nanda Maharaj, is the king. So she had special cows. And these cows were so special that they would give a distinctive flavor to their milk. So that was the milk that Yashoda was churning. As she is churning, Krishna comes and indicates that he wants to be fed from her breast. So Yashoda gladly stops her churning and allows Krishna to suckle her breast. And as he's doing so, Yashoda is looking at the beautiful face of Krishna. Krishna's name means all attractive. So one of those attractiveness is beauty. He is more beautiful than any other personality throughout the three worlds and spiritual world. He has unique beauty that cannot be equaled or surpassed. That is why his name is Krishna. Everyone say that name.
Krishna.
So Yashoda is looking at her child's beautiful face as the song, when you sing the song, curling black hair tinged with red. The songwriter gives us a glimpse. All of a sudden on the oven, stove, Yashoda can hear that the milk that she was boiling had boiled over. So she has to take care. So she interrupts feeding Krishna, puts Krishna down, and goes to take care of the overflowing milk on the stove. Krishna, however, is not very happy. He has not finished drinking. And so he becomes angry and he bites his lips. And he's so angry he takes a stone, a rock, and throws it at the butter pot, churning pot, and breaks it, and the butter yogurt comes spilling out. And it appears that Krishna stepped in it. I'll tell you why. Then Krishna leaves the scene of the crime and finds the wooden grinding mortar, which is a big item, like this, big. And he climbs up, and hanging from the ceiling is butter and yogurt. So Krishna hops up and starts eating the butter and yogurt. And Krishna is very liberal. Krishna starts to give the butter and yogurt to the monkeys. Who would like to be a monkey being fed by Krishna? Krishna is feeding the monkeys the butter and yogurt. Meanwhile, Yashoda comes back and sees the big mess that Krishna has created. But she can detect where Krishna is because she sees footprints smeared with butter and yogurt. So she becomes a sleuth and she follows. Now, Krishna knows that he's being nonsense, that he's being naughty. Because while he's giving the butter yogurt to the monkeys, he's looking like this, he's looking like this, he's looking like this. He's expecting any moment. And then all of a sudden around the corner comes Yashoda, but with stick in hand. Krishna becomes very alarmed. He doesn't want to get hit with that stick. No child does. Owie. So Krishna jumps off the grinding mortar and starts to run. Now, Shukadeva Goswami describes that Yashoda has full breasts, full hips, so it's a little difficult for her to run, and Krishna is very fast. So Krishna is leading her, and Yashoda is trying to capture. After some time of great struggle, Yashoda captures Krishna. And here's the scene right there. Look, Krishna is afraid. And it's interesting, this scene, Krishna being afraid. Why? Because very early in the Bhagavatam, very, very early, one of the first things you learn, that fear personified is afraid of Krishna's name. What to speak of Krishna? Fear personified is afraid of Krishna's name. That same Krishna is afraid of his mother. This is an amazing aspect of this pastime. Queen Kunti, Krishna's aunt, later on, when Krishna's all grown up, after the battle of Kurukshetra, Kunti will approach Krishna and offer prayers, and one of her prayers is, Kunti remembers this incident and says, I am bewildered that although fear personified is afraid of you, you are afraid of your mother Yashoda. And Kunti says, this is a bewildering thing to me. So, Krishna's, and the song even says that Krishna is trembling and his pearl necklace shook. He's trembling because Yashoda is not coming like, oh, I love you. No, she has the stick in the hand. When mothers get angry, the child knows, this is no laughing matter. She has the stick in her hand, she's angry, and Krishna's shaking and false tears are coming down his eyes. That's why I say Krishna should get the Academy Award for Lifetime Actor. The best. He's got false tears in his eyes. Mother Yashoda, being a good mother, is concerned. She's thinking, if I'm too harsh in my punishment, maybe it will create some psychological thing. So Yashoda throws the stick away. But she has to do something because she doesn't want her baby Krishna to grow up to be a spoiled child. No, she must do something. So she decides, the child is so restless, so much disturbance he has caused today. Let me tie him up because he's too restless. So Yashoda asked the servant, please bring me some rope. And so she tries to tie up Krishna, but at the end the rope is short by 2 fingers or 2 inches. So she tells the servant, bring more. So more rope is brought. And when she tries to make the final knot, it's 2 fingers too short. Bring more rope. Come on, bring. So they bring almost all the rope in the house, and no matter how much rope they brought, it still was 2 fingers too short to tie up Krishna. Krishna is, like we say, putting a whammy on Mother Yashoda. He is bewildering her. And meanwhile, some of the other ladies, gopis, have now come to the house, and they're seeing this, and they're all smiling like, so, after so much time to tie up, it says that if you took all the 2 inches that the supposed rope was supposed to make up, that alone could have tied up Krishna. But not this time. So, and at some point, Yashoda just gives up. She's flabbergasted, frustrated. Because you could bring all the rope in the whole universe. If Krishna doesn't want to be tied up, he's not going to be tied up. That's why in the song, you will see this 2 words. Bhakti Badham. Everyone say. That Krishna cannot be tied up with any ropes. He can only be tied up by bhakti, loving devotion. So finally, when Krishna sees that Yashoda is totally exhausted, then Krishna, as it says here, I'll read from the Bhagavatam itself. So let's everyone raise your hand and repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Shukadeva Goswami says, because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. So this shows there's something we learn in the very first verse of Bhagavatam, Swarat. Everyone can say that? It means that Krishna is completely, totally independent. You and I, even though we live in America, we cannot say that we're totally, completely independent. Nobody can. Only Krishna, the Absolute Truth, is completely, totally, absolutely independent. You cannot make Krishna do anything. And in this instance, you cannot tie him up. But, as it says here, he agreed to be bound. And that's the meaning of Bhakti Badham. Why? Because of Yashoda's love. Shukadeva Goswami then says, O Maharaj Parikshit, the entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you read Prabhupada's Krishna book, The Life Story of Krishna, you will see Lord Shiva. You come to understand that yes, Lord Shiva is under the control of Krishna. Lord Brahma, you will see that pastime when Lord Brahma tried to play a trick on Krishna, but the trick was actually played on Lord Brahma. He tried to trick, but the trick came back on him. And then it says, Lord Indra, next week, when we observe the Govardhan Puja ceremony, we will see also that Indra also comes under the control. He thought he could punish the residents of Vrindavan, by flooding for 7 days and 7 nights. But in the end, Indra was defeated, and then Indra had to come and beg forgiveness from Krishna. And Krishna told Indra, "Indra, I am the supreme. You get your powers only because I give you permission. And as the supreme, I can take anyone's power away like that. So Indra, don't be puffed up," Krishna tells him. "I'll let you continue to be Indra, because Indra is just like right now we're going to vote for president. So you can only be president for some time, maximum 8 years. Then, goodbye." So the post of demigod like Lord Indra is just like that. Okay, you can be Indra this time for some time. But there's another Indra waiting to take your place. But Krishna said you can go back and be Indra, but don't be consumed by egotism. Remember, you work for me, Krishna tells Indra. These exalted demigods are under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His name is?
Krishna.
Wait, some of you don't know that. His name is?
Krishna.
Ah, very good. Now you get a ding. All right. Shukadeva continues, "Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime." Yes. One of Krishna's names is Ajita. Everyone say?
Ajita.
That means he's unconquerable. Nothing, nobody can conquer Krishna. But we learn from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there is one thing more powerful than Krishna. Just like I like to give an example, those of you who grew up on Superman. Superman was imitation Krishna, comic book character. But Superman, there was one thing more powerful than Superman. Kryptonite. So in the same way, there's one thing more powerful than Krishna. Love. That is the only thing that can control Krishna. Love. What kind of love? Pure love. The love exhibited by Mother Yashoda, what to speak of the love exhibited by Srimati Radharani. That is the otherwise Krishna is unconquerable, Ajita. So Shukadeva is pointing out, he becomes under the control of his devotees. That's what it means to be a devotee. A devotee is someone who loves Krishna. The only time I questioned Srila Prabhupada, I asked him in a Sunday feast crowd, "Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most?" Prabhupada said, "When you love Krishna." That's all Srila Prabhupada wants you to do. Everything that Prabhupada is teaching in his books, in his movement, every single thing, rules, regulations, procedures, requests, they have only one objective. Srila Prabhupada wants you to learn how to develop your dormant, I love that word, dormant love of Krishna. Because it's already there in your heart. Everyone's got it. Republican, Democrat, black, white, green, red, young, old, human, animal, every living soul has love of God dormant in the heart. And all Prabhupada's movement is trying to do is awaken that. That's what this movement is. It's an awakening of your dormant love for Krishna, centered around the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Let's all chant it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shukadeva continues. He's going to make some conclusions about this pastime. So now he says, neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord. Wow, what a statement. Shukadeva Goswami is saying that Goddess Lakshmi is the better half of Lord Narayan. Can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead the deliverer from this material world. That name of... See, Krishna has unlimited names, and these names have a meaning. So the deliverer of this world, that name is Mukunda. Everyone say. Come on, everyone say. There you go, Mukunda. But there's another meaning of Mukunda. The general meaning that everybody knows, he delivers, he gives liberation. But there's another one. The esoteric meaning of the name Mukunda, which we learn from Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavatam. Krishna is always smiling, as you see. Does Krishna look like he's smiling today? Yes. So Krishna is always smiling. So there's a flower in Vrindavan, the Kunda flower. And when you look at that flower, it looks like it's smiling at you. So Muk also means face. So just like that Kunda flower is always smiling, Krishna's face is always smiling just like that Kunda flower. Therefore, his name is Mukunda. Everyone say.
Mukunda.
So, Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi cannot obtain from Krishna such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. She's on a higher platform of intimacy. Just look. She gets to tie up Krishna. She gets to feed Krishna the milk from her breast. Only she. Nobody else. You cannot become Yashoda. Unlike Indra or any position of a demigod. Sorry. Position taken. No applications being accepted. Yashoda's position is set for eternity. Don't worry. You can experience the same emotions, the same feelings. You can follow in her footsteps. That's allowed. And that's why in this chapter, the beginning section of this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami spends several verses describing Yashoda's features, how the hair was, her face, and as she's churning, she's perspiring. So the note is given that this description is there for those devotees who want to meditate on Yashoda, follow in her footsteps. Like that. That's why that description is given by Shukadeva Goswami. This Srimad Bhagavatam is so deep, so vast, that you can spend your whole life simply thinking and meditating and contemplating all the different aspects of this Srimad Bhagavatam. And this pastime, this Damodar pastime, we're meditating on it for one whole month. That's what, because it's so special. There's so much to contemplate and think over. Sometimes people say, do you Hare Krishna people do meditation? Yes. But not this meditation. Oh no. We have a higher form of meditation. We're meditating on Krishna and Yashoda. We're meditating on how Krishna is being tied up with ropes. That is our meditation. It's the highest form. It's the form of meditation that the gopis do. Gopis are considered topmost yogis. There's no dispute. It is confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no better yogi than the gopis of Vrindavan. Why? They may be doing housework. Doesn't matter. Who are they thinking of? Krishna. They may be having so many responsibilities. Doesn't matter. They're thinking of Krishna. from morning to night, and even while sleeping, all they're doing is thinking of Krishna. Constant, this is called samadhi. They're working, they're talking, they're doing, but they're in samadhi. Why? Because no matter what, they're thinking of Krishna. In fact, in one place, Prabhupada says, the gopis are simply meditating on the sound of Krishna's flute. That's it. They're waiting for that sound of Krishna's flute, because when that sound comes, drop everything, run to be with Krishna. Prabhupada says, and don't try to imitate. You cannot put on a sari and kajal, now I'm a gopi. No. You again have to follow in their footsteps. How? The sound of Krishna's flute is within the Hare Krishna mantra. If you want to hear the sound of Krishna's flute, you have to unlock that Hare Krishna mantra. How do you do that? Keep chanting. But Prabhu, I've been chanting for 50 years. I don't hear Krishna's flute. Keep chanting. Until you unlock this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, Prabhupada says, as the gopis are always meditating on the sound of Krishna's flute, we should always be meditating on the sound of Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So don't worry. A few years ago in San Diego, one gentleman, he approached the devotees. I've been coming to the temple for so many years. I've given so much money. I read Gita. I have not achieved liberation. No. You have to just keep. You cannot fake it. You cannot buy it. You have to simply surrender. You simply have to chant the holy name. And when your chanting is pure, then and only then will Krishna reveal. Shukadev continues, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. So that's the point we are striving for. We begin our spiritual life in the stage of rules and regulations. You cannot jump to this stage. You cannot wake up one day and say, okay, now I'm on the spontaneous stage. Just like you cannot say, now I'm going to lift 800 pounds today, when I've never even lifted 10. No, you have to build up. So, you cannot jump to this spontaneous platform. It's explained by Srila Prabhupada, it's explained by Rupa Goswami. It begins by strictly following the rules and regulations. And by strictly following, then gradually, automatically, imperceptibly, you come to this spontaneous stage. So the same answer. Prabhu, I have not made any advancement. I want to get... It's all right. Go back to square one. Start all over. It begins right here. I've said this a million times. I will say it to the day I die. You want to advance? You want to get to the next level? It all starts from here. For when you get up in the morning and you sit down to do your chanting, you're not going to go any faster. It comes from hearing and chanting with full attention. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if you become, like we say in New York, if you become absorbed, if you become absorbed in this hearing of Krishna's name, then you will see little by little, by little by little, you see how you're advancing. And you will get to this spontaneous stage. All of you have reached one level of spontaneous stage. I'll prove it. How many of you love to take prasadam? You've reached the first spontaneous stage. So when you come to the point where you love to chant more than you like taking that samosa, very good, very good. So it just comes by strictly following the rules and regulations that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Prabhupada is spoon-feeding us Krishna consciousness. Spoon-feeding, like we're little babies. Prabhupada is just saying, okay, now do this, do this. He's made everything so nice. We simply have to follow Prabhupada's instructions. We will come. He is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances. That's why I always say, I did not join the International Society for Austerities and Penances. I'm not into that. I like Lord Chaitanya's religion. I didn't even join the Hindu religion. Here's my religion. Chant, dance, take prasadam. I'm sold. That's the religion I joined. Chant Krishna's name, dance in ecstasy, and when you get tired, take prasadam. I'm not interested in any other religion. Forget about it. That's Lord Chaitanya's movement. Very nice. Everyone can do it. Young, old, doesn't matter. Everybody can chant, everybody can dance, and everybody can take prasadam. Or to those who consider the body the same as the self. That's why Krishna's opening instruction of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhu, step outside your body. I want to talk to you. Prabhu, I don't want to talk to your body. I want to talk. You got to step outside your body. So Krishna's first instruction, you're not that body. What you see in the mirror, good or bad, that ain't you. You're far more beautiful than what you see in the mirror. Spirit soul is beautiful. So Krishna's first instruction, come to understand you're not your body, you're not your mind. You are my eternal fragmental part and parcel. Or as Lord Chaitanya says, you are my eternal servant. While Mother Yashoda... Okay, so at this point, Shukadeva Goswami then goes into the next episode. The next episode. So when Krishna is tied up, he's tied up to the grinding mortar that he stood on to get the butter and yogurt. So Yashoda now has tied up Krishna. So Yashoda now goes to carry on her housework. And this is another thing. Here's the mother of God, and she's working. It's not that when I go back to Godhead, or if I'm the mother of God, I just sit back on the couch and drink limca and watch TV. No. The mother of God has housework. So men, use this point. Even when you go back to the kingdom of God, you're going to have to work. But this work is unlike working for these rascals that you have to work for. Maybe not. But I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about. I know, because I used to work out there. Kripana Duda Jana, wicked and miserly men. So, when you are working in the spiritual world, it is actually play. Everybody likes to play, right? Children, that's all they want to do. So working in the kingdom of God is just like playing. It's ecstatic. It's exhilarating. So Yashoda is going about doing her housework. And here's what Krishna is thinking. Krishna is thinking, my mother thinks she has tied me up. My mother thinks that I can't do any more nonsense. Krishna looks out into the courtyard and he sees two big trees. And Krishna says, oh yeah, I know about those two trees. My great devotee Narada once cursed the two sons of Kuvera and they are in those trees. Ha ha, I'm going to do more nonsense. So what did Krishna do? He started to crawl. And as he's crawling, he's pulling the grinding mortar that he's tied in. And he goes in between the two trees. The mortar gets stuck. And of course, one of Krishna's opulence is all strength. So effortlessly he pulls the grinding mortar to the two trees. The two trees come crashing down. And out come the two demigod sons, Nalakuvra and Manigriva. They had been cursed for a long time. And when they see Krishna, they offer prayers. And Krishna blesses them, and they return as sons of the demigod Kuvera. And then, another chapter, another episode. This Srimad Bhagavatam, or the best way to get it, is how many people don't have the book called Krishna, the Krishna book? How many of you don't have Krishna book? If you don't have it, go and get it tonight. Start reading Krishna book. You will become so enlivened in Krishna. I read that book, and after the first 6 chapters, it convinced me to join this movement. That book is so, I still read it today. I first started to read that book in 1973. Now it's 2012. I'm still reading that book after all these years, and it's still wonderful. That's the amazing quality of Prabhupada's books. They're not like any book, Harry Potter, this, that is garbage. Read Prabhupada's books, especially Krishna book. It will satisfy you completely. When I first joined the temple, you know who I'm talking. Remember Santosh Das? So this is my old friend Bhaktivinod. He joined before me, but we were in one of the best temples that ever was. Brooklyn Temple, 1973. That was beautiful, wasn't it? In fact, he was one of the first devotees I saw when I entered the temple for the first time. When I entered the temple for the first time, he was like this. He was standing up by the staircase and he was chanting Neem Japa. I mean, he was like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I said, whoa, man, don't mess with these guys. He looked like some kung fu master. He was like, sparks were coming out of his beads. It was like, Hare Krishna. I never told you that. You look like a military sergeant. You and Sunanda were chanting japa because Prabhupada was there, so everybody was on their best behavior. So, we simply have to chant this Maha Mantra sincerely. So, I was talking about Santosh. So when I joined the temple, after some time I got to live with two senior devotees. And this one devotee, Santosh Das, he told me, he said, Bhakta Nik. That's what I was, Bhakta Nik. Everybody starts off as a Bhakta or Bhaktin. So, we make a joke, Bhakta Bozo and Bhaktin Dizzy Dasi. So, he told me, he said, you see this book, Bhagavad Gita? You read this Bhagavad Gita every day and eventually it will become your best friend. Now that took a long time for me to come to that point, maybe 20 years. But what he said is true. You read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna book religiously, it will become your best friend. And sometimes lately, like last week, I did a Sunday feast lecture in San Diego, and I discovered my new line. Say hello to my little friend. That's from a movie. And the guy comes out with a submachine gun. So this is my little friend. It's called Japa. And when I was in South Africa in 2008, that day, it was Janmashtami Day. It was one of the greatest days of my life. I got to give 5 lectures on Janmashtami Day. Morning, midday, and then 3 at night. So for my final midnight lecture, and the temple room was packed, and I was on a roll, all of a sudden, I came up with this. Don't worry, chant Japa. Don't worry, chant Japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama. Hare Hare. Look at me, I don't worry, I chant Japa. Everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare. Don't worry, chant Japa. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama. Hare Hare. Everybody, one more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama. Hare Hare. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. May you all achieve spontaneous devotional service by rigidly following the rules and regulations of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. If you have any questions, you can take one of my cards. You can send me an email. I'll be glad to answer it. But for now, Hare Krishna.